Work moves fast. Every email, report, and proposal counts. That's where Grammarly comes in. It's your one place to think, write, and finish. Grammarly's AI agents help you find natural phrasing, fine-tune tone, and confidently write wherever you work. It's the premier writing tool that 93% of users trust to get more work done. In a world of generic AI, don't sound like everyone else. With Grammarly, you never will. Download Grammarly for free at grammarly.com.
Guess who?
ESPN 97.5. Brought to you by Zada Jewelers.
KFNC 97.9 HD2, Mont Bellevue, Houston.
A radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's Gallant at the G, Yo, and George.
Thanks, Joe.
Yeah! On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios located at La Berge Casino Resort in Lake Charles. Here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
Gallant George here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, broadcasting live from Sportsbook at La Berge in Lake Charles.
It's never good when Matt Holland is in the break asking us, what the hell's the deal with Kyle Tucker?
Dude.
I just gave him a, we don't know. This is what we've been dealing with. It looks better, but still questions remain.
All I know is that when they win 91 games somehow this season.
I saw McTaggart tweeting out the record. They need to get to 90. I think it's 20-10.
Yeah, they have to go. No, they have to go 20, was it 28-0?
To get to 100. Yeah.
So we need them to go.
Like what, 20?
21-7?
Yes.
Something like that to get the over 92.5. Not happening.
Hey, they made progress last night. And we need another.
And
win.
They won a game.
one at a time. One game at a time.
You're right. I feel that one's like, you know what? I don't worry about losing that one.
Because we've already lost.
We
lost that in May.
The other one we have, the three of us, you, me, and BMAC, that we have just to win the American League.
Yes.
At least that one, I still like. It feels
there's
at least
a,
it's on
there's
the table.
A glimmer of hope there.
Yeah, there's still a glimmer of hope there. Who is your our question we're going to talk about now for all of you? 713-780-3776. Who's your favorite random Astro that's contributed in a big way this year? Because right now we have Ben Gamel, you've got Jason Hayward.
Sure do.
You've got DeZenzo and Whitcomb. You could even go back and say, like, even though it was partial, you can include Loperfido.
I was going to say Loperfido, like, and Bloss.
Yeah.
Your boy Blair Henley.
Well, he's just a contributor to the show. He's just a punching bag for me.
Yeah, no.
Taylor Scott would qualify.
I think Taylor Scott definitely qualifies.
Yeah.
Pedro Leon and his little cameo.
He definitely is in last place. Like if we did like the
not our fave.
Yeah, like if they did like the quarterback tiers they did on the Athletic this year, if we tiered our favorite random Astros.
He's in Justin Fields territory.
Yeah, he's in Daniel Jones territory. I mean,
honestly, if I remember the Sando tiers, I think Jones was ahead of Fields.
Well, he probably should be.
Yeah.
I mean, sadly, it's not sadly anymore.
Yeah.
Really, it's okay. Yeah, Leon's at the bottom of the list.
So we got Ort. We got Brian King.
Oh, they sent our guy down.
I know. They did send our guy down.
We talked so glowingly about King yesterday, and then they sent him down.
Yeah. I just have the baseball reference page for the Astros Open where it just has everyone who's made an appearance. And there's so many guys. Luis Contreras.
Don't know him.
Who's that? I don't know. Wander Suero. I remember the name. I don't remember the game. We got Brandon Belak made some appearances this year.
I forgot he did.
Yeah,
did he get hurt?
I think he got cut, didn't he? Yeah, he got cut and picked up by the A's.
That's right. Such a random. I forgot about him. Yeah, it's a long list.
There's a lot of in 5 years when we go like real ones. Remember when Cooper Hummel was on the Astros?
Oh yeah.
I remember talking about Cooper Hummel getting picked up.
Trey Cabbage.
He's
another one of like the random guys. So who's your favorite random Astro this year right now? 713-780-3776. Twitch.tv/ESPN975. The ESPN Houston YouTube channel as well. It's funny. It's maybe because it's time's going to come to an end here in the next 10 days when Kyle Tucker returns. As much as I like Taylor Scott, I think it's Ben Gamble right now.
I think it's Ben Gamble. We're 100% just in the honeymoon phase with Ben Gamble. It took 2.5 shows to learn his name, or to learn his name enough to where we feel confident every time his first name and last name. Yeah. I think we had a slip up yesterday. But
I think I call him Brian.
Yeah. I like Ben Gamble too. It's eight games now of wonderful memories and a .385 batting average. And I think, again, this is recency bias to the max, but I think Ben Gamble is one of my faves.
I'm a big Trey Cabbage guy. I was early in the season.
I remember I said it then.
I couldn't explain about it.
There's
like,
a random like.
Yeah, I was just like, I think I like Trey Cabbage a little bit here. Like,
you know who's second? I think Joey Loperfido played himself into second place on this for me with again, here for a good time, not a long time.
Yeah.
But the plays that he made, it felt like every time he was out there, he made at least one or two great defensive plays. Wasn't exactly what you wanted with the bat in his hand. But I think Loperfido also deserves a mention because him getting traded sent the city into a 48-hour meltdown until Kikuchi took them out.
That we're like all have to backtrack at this point. I mean, the Loperfido, like, the first game, he grabs it off the wall.
Yeah.
And throws the guy out. Like there is just...
Diving catch against Baltimore.
Yeah. He had two great plays in that series. I mean, Loperfido is one that I think a lot of people are still sad about because they thought there was something there to him. Text here says Kyle Tucker. I mean, yeah,
yes. I mean, let's see. He's played 60 games, so that's who else has played 60 games? Caratini's played 60. Trey Cabbage played 45. So it's really not that big of a difference between just amount of playing time. I think we're more going for guys that if you were to say that this person made an appearance for the Astros or made...
And you would say who?
Yeah.
Honestly,
made a lot of appearances for the Astros, yes. You would be like, really? Him?
My favorite, like, the best part about Jason Hayward, though, is that even though it was only one game, is I can see it in, like, 3 years when they do the name that Astro.
Yes.
It's going to say World Series champion.
Yes.
Former Dodger.
Rookie of the year or
Rookie
something.
Of the year.
Tremendous speech giver.
And then it's
orator
go,
of his time.
Yeah, and then it's going to go Jason Hayward.
Jason
and
Hayward.
Everyone's going to be like, oh, yeah.
Or if, what's the grid game? Baseball grid game?
Yeah, I don't know what it's called.
Wordle? No, not Wordle.
But like,
Brian.
Oh.
Immaculate grid. Yeah. Thank you, Brian. Jason Hayward's going to be a one percenter for the Astros and like Gold Glove winner or something.
Yeah, Astros and Gold Glove or Astros and just Braves.
He did win Rookie of the Year, right?
I think he had to.
He was awesome when he was young. We were talking about that with the random Colorado fan last night. I don't know, Joe, if you remember that conversation.
I do. I was like, that guy, I had so many questions. I was like, is he actually a Colorado fan? Or there are people who buy like gear when they're betting on teams.
Yes. Jason Hayward finished second. He was an all-star as a rookie, but finished second in Rookie of the Year voting to Joey Votto.
Oh, okay.
No, wait, no. He won MVP that year. Hold on 1 second. Buster Posey. Another guy where you're like, yeah, okay.
That makes sense.
I was hoping it was going to be a random Starlin Castro, Gabby Sanchez. Oh.
Starlin Castro, my guy.
Bad guy. You do not want him to be your
guy. Oh, that's right. He's a bad guy now. I forgot. Let's walk that back. It's so hard to keep
Joe
track
George,
of.
Colon, quote, Starlin Castro, ..
Bad
my
guy.
Guy.
Nope, bad guy.
My guy.
Was my guy.
I support Starlin Castro.
Nope, was, keyword. JP France here. He didn't pitch for the Astros this year.
I think he did.
Did he pitch for the Astros this year?
Yes, I'll have to go back into the tomes of research that I was doing, but he was on here.
So I thought he was hurt the whole year.
So is Parker Mashinsky.
Mm. I know that's Joel's favorite.
Yes. What do you call him?
Mashinsky.
That's a good
and
one.
And he doesn't call him Parker either. I'm still not sure if it's a bit or he just doesn't know his name.
JP France made five appearances for the. He's made five starts for the Astros.
For this? In this year?
Yes. A 7.46 ERA.
Baseball is way too long of a season. If I can't remember a guy making five starts,
Mashinsky made 10. He made 10 appearances.
Yeah, that
I know. 6.55 ERA.
Yeah, that one I remember. But J.P. France, I do not remember
Josh
pitching
Cunnell
on his team.
Is it Cunnell or is it Cunnell? I don't know. It's another guy. One game,
I remember
18
when,
ERA.
Yep. This Penn Murphy guy who hasn't even pitched for the Astros yet, but he might this year.
Yes. If Penn Murphy picks up a baseball for the Houston Astros wearing an Astros uniform.
Oh, Forrest Whitley has to be on this list.
Forrest Whitley's on this list. Although, if you saw Forrest Whitley as a contributor, even though he pitched one inning, you would be like, oh, finally, Forrest Whitley. Like, you would actually not be surprised by Forrest Whitley.
Yeah.
I think the nature of his of his call up and then immediate was it an IL stint?
Yeah,
IL stint and then back to Sugarland. Actually, he made two outs. He got two outs, so less than an inning so far.
Yep, not great. Yeah, I think Ben Gamble's the clear winner here of favorite random Astro.
I'm putting Blair Henley on the medal stand. I think he's third.
Yeah, top three.
I'm going Gamble, Loperfido, Blair Henley for the 1.35 ERA.
I'm gonna say Gamble. I'm not going to disrespect Taylor Scott like you are. So I'm going to put Taylor Scott, number two, on this list. Actually a good performer consistently.
Maybe it's just residual guilt and for then, being attached to the Blair Henley hate on the
yeah,
show.
Yeah, I mean, and then I'm just going to put Blair there because, look, he's one day is going to wake up and tell his kids that he had a 1.35 ERA in Major League Baseball. And that, you know, they're going to think that, wow, my dad, Pitt, had a 1.35 ERA. And until he's an old man – he'll, you know, or until they can use the internet, you know, he's going to keep that lie up.
Yeah. I mean, it's not a lie. It's just, you know, not 100% the truth.
Yeah, there's, you know.
He has a 1.35 ERA.
Let's see. Text here says Jacob Amaya. Don't remember who that is either.
Yeah, I saw him on this list. I also didn't say it because I remembered him so little. He did play one game. I don't think he had an at-bat in that game, so he must have been a defensive sub. No, he had one at-bat. One at bat.
Yeah.
Good job, Jason Amaya.
All right, let's get to our NFL countdown. 6 days until the NFL season. That's next year on Gaunt and George on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.
We're ready for some football, baby.
The countdown to the NFL season continues with Paul Gallant and Joe George.
All right, 6 more days until the start of the NFL season. It's Quan George here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. I did my typical last-second pro football reference search of a number 6. What does AV stand for again? Added value?
Added value, I believe.
Number 1 on this list. This is a bad number, apparently.
Approximate value, actually.
Approximate value. This is maybe the worst number in the history of the NFL.
Whoa.
Because the number 1 player on this list is Jay Cutler.
Don't disrespect Jay Cutler.
I mean,
like that. Come
like,
on.
Like, of all the quarterbacks.
How far do you have to scroll to get to Mark Sanchez? Not that far?
Probably pretty far.
Okay.
All I know is, look, Baker's number 2 on this list.
This is a banger of a list. Come on.
Like,
you got
Baker
Jay
Mayfield.
Cutler, playoff winners, both of them.
The butt fumble.
Are they both multi-time playoff winners? No, Cutler, I think, only won one playoff game.
Probably.
Yeah. But hey, come
kind
on.
Of a loser.
Don't. Oh. You're just skipping over Bubby Brister like that? Come on. John James? Devontae Smith in 3 years of football is like fifth on this list?
Yes.
At number 6?
Yeah, Patrick Queen. Pretty high on this list. Mark Sanchez isn't that far down. I just missed him the first time.
There we go.
He's below Johnny Hecker. So,
hey,
I mean, you know.
Hey, Johnny Hecker, future Hall of Famer. Maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know.
See, I don't know how the James Conner's on this list, because I guess he's been number 6 for 2 years.
Oh, yeah. Or they only count. They're probably only counting him as number 6. Ryan Succop is not that far. Yeah, this number sucks.
Yeah, this is not a great list.
This might be the worst number that we've had in, like, 30 numbers.
Yeah, it's been a while. I think since we left, like, the
30s, probably.
Yeah, the 30s were tough.
High 30s are bad.
Yeah. A lot of the offensive – I mean, actually, we're not, like, big offensive line guys, I would say. Except for when Lance calls in and educates us.
Oh, yeah.
That was still very funny when he did that. All right, what's going on in the NFL? Not a lot right now. I mean, it's kind of quiet for the most part. Hollywood Brown is going to be out for the opener. Mm-hmm. I'm a little confused about this Ja'Marr Chase saga. It seems like he's going to play, but then he's not practicing, and he's there, but he's not – he's doing some stuff, but not everything.
Yeah.
I can't get a read on if he's going to be there for the opener. Like, what they're doing with Chase.
It's tough because, he's doing the hold in, but every time it gets mentioned, or the last couple days, it's been reported as, like, a surprise of, like, can you believe it? That, hey, he showed up, like, 15 minutes late and isn't practicing. I was like, well, if he's not practicing, why would he show up on that?
Yeah.
But I do have a tough time reading this. I will say if I am Jamar Chase and I'm looking at the money that's getting thrown around, I think, I should be next on this list. Honestly, he probably should have been ahead of some of the at least Ayuk on who's getting paid.
Ayuk got signed yesterday, 4-year deal, $120 million, and he's going to get $47 million between now and April 1st. Oof. So it's very front-loaded, this contract.
Yes, very front-loaded. That's how you do it with the signing bonus. Give me my money today.
Yeah.
I don't know. You would think Jamar Chase gets more than that and probably less than Jefferson?
I don't know, man.
You think he gets more than Jefferson?
I think he's the only receiver with a real argument.
I would agree with that.
Because, like, it's CD. I think CD Lamb had an argument. He got close to Jefferson.
Yeah.
He didn't pass him. So I could see them not doing it. It is the one where
it's also the Bengals that I feel like that
I'm
plays fast, a part in it.
Because they're cheap.
Yeah.
They are a notoriously cheap franchise, and I do wonder, like will they pay Jamar?
Yeah, it's a little bit of the story with Mark Davis back in the day with the defensive end that became a Chicago Bear.
Oh, Khalil Mack.
Khalil Mack, where they could only guarantee so much of the money because the guaranteed money gets put in escrow, and so you have to have that money up
front. And the Raiders didn't have the money.
And they just weren't liquid enough to have the money. And it's something with the Bengals where I'm not sure if they don't have the money, but are they willing to actually put that money up front to do that, which is almost worse. It's a little bit better to have the excuse of, like, we just don't have it. I think the Bengals, they might have it, just don't want to.
Yeah. So that's one to keep an eye on now. It sounds like I guess we have to keep an eye on Trent Williams, too, for the 49ers. Like,
this seems like old guy that doesn't want to practice.
I think so, too.
That's the vibe that I'm getting off of that.
Yeah. The Chase one is really, it's like, now that Ayuk is done and CeeDee Lamb got done, Chase is like the last one of, with like fantasy football implications, of just like, if you're between two players in the first round, like, are you passing on Chase just in case he sits out a game, or because he hasn't been practicing, he starts off a little slow?
I definitely think it's a tiebreaker. You know, if you're torn between two guys, and the one guy has practiced and has a deal already squared away, I think there it's not crazy to give the other guy the bump over Chase. But, again, at a certain point, value is value, and you just got to take the dart throw on it.
Mm-hmm. Deshaun Watson, they moved some money around on his contract, where his value on his contract is $72 million next year and the year after. They're so screwed.
They're just kicking the can. They're just kicking the can on that. And
they're just going to have to eat it.
Yeah, it became a situation where, you know, when the way they structured it initially, you thought the first 2 years with Watson was the years that they had to kind of strike on it. And through injury and poor play, and I guess suspension for year one, they weren't able to. And now it seems like the time is kind of running out because the chickens are coming home to roost with all that guaranteed money and the cap hits that are going to keep coming for a guy who we have conversations about of, are we sure he's even better than Jameis Winston, his backup at this point? And the answer is, I don't know, and it doesn't matter, because with how much he's getting paid, he's going to have to be the starter.
Yeah, he has to be. The only way for Deshaun that you get out of it is just cutting bait. It's just doing what the Broncos did, and that's having $80 million plus in dead cap space.
Yeah.
And just being like, well, like, we're just...
I'm not sure how realistic that... I mean, it's not realistic this year to do it, obviously. But even, like, next offseason, like, I still don't think it's realistic.
It depends on when the money kicks in from, like, the new TV deal and everything. Like, because, well, they're doing the slow growth on the salary cap.
Yeah.
But it's still moving quite a bit. So, like, the real question is just, at what point... what do you think the line is for them to not cut bait? Like,
how good does he have to be?
Yeah. Or is it a team thing where, like, even if the team wins 9 games, 10 games this year, and he's not good, does it matter? He plays in all the games?
Yeah, that, I was going to say, I think they have to be good. They probably have to win 9, 10 games, and he has to play like 15 or 16 of them.
Yeah.
And honestly, I don't even think he has to play like that well. I think he just has to be not terrible. So, which them winning 9, 10 games would prove that he's playing not terrible.
Yeah, I mean, they did it last year with terrible quarterback play. I mean, they won
that is true.
All those games with four different quarterbacks, and some of them were very, very bad.
That is true, but you expect the defense to take a slide back because of, A, how good they were last year, and can they replicate that? You know, maybe they get a little bit more injured on that front, or because the money is only going up on Watson, they're losing some talent there. So there is, or at least depth there. So I think there's a lot of ways for that to kind of shake out. None of them seem to be ways that are really too good for the Browns or Browns fans. Because, I mean, if you're a Browns fan, like, there's no way you're excited coming into this year.
Oh, and Mike McDaniel, he got a massive contract extension today. He'll be the head coach of the Dolphins through 2028.
What do you think about that?
I
have mixed feelings. I think he's a good coach, but I'm just not sure why give him the extension right now.
I think it's because it lines up perfectly with Tua. So I guess you're just saying, like, we're all in on Tua and Mike McDaniel through that deal. I mean,
I like being,
I will
being
say
in it, on McDaniel more for, through that deal. Than
I would not have Tua. Signed Tua if I was the Dolphins if I didn't have my coach secured.
That's true. That
so
is true.
Because I think I'm not a Tua believer. I think that once you put him in a different offense, he'll struggle again. I think that so you have to hope that Mike McDaniel is successful.
Yeah, I think that it's more likely, I think it's most likely that McDaniel will get another quarterback if this Tua thing works out the way we think it is, which is not that well. Like, there's some real Garoppolo potential here, or even, I guess a better example would be Jared Goff at the Rams, where you have this awesome offensive coach who kind of gets sick of it with this quarterback who it feels like it's the offensive coach really unlocking the quarterback more than the quarterback elevating the system. And that could be something where they, you know, hit the head on the ceiling of the playoffs, of, mm-hmm. you know, wild card divisional round too many times where the coach is like, you know what, maybe if we can make our Matt Stafford deal happen, let's do that instead of and cut bait on Tua. And the Dolphins are a team that's been pretty aggressive with the trading draft picks. That you could see it happening of them doing a deal like the Rams did to as a way to get the other team to eat the money, sending a draft pick with the quarterback, a lot like the Osweiler deal.
Yeah, I'm curious. Like, I think we'll see that again. I was almost curious, like, who that next quarterback is,
the next veteran that
like the
moves.
Next vet that moves like that. Because I thought that would be an interesting, like, not trend, but maybe we'd see more of something
there
like
is,
this, where it's like you could.
There's about a guy every year.
Yeah, where you see, like, a vet move
if,
like that.
If you go back, like, there, you have, obviously, Brady. You mm-hmm. have Stafford. You had Wilson, which that didn't work out.
Yeah, Cousins this year.
Cousins this
well,
year.
Well, Cousins might be the guy again next year.
Yeah. Dak might be the guy next year, too. So, you get this more often. I mean, obviously more often than back in the day where it never happened. But it is something that it's a reality of the NFL in the 2020s, really, is that these guys move around.
Yeah.
Either the team decides, hey, this isn't worth it, we kind of want to refresh on this, like the Vikings, where they could have paid Cousins, but I think they knew that the Jefferson deal was coming, so
uh-huh.
they thought, do we want to pay Jefferson 30 and Cousins upper 40s or 50, or do we want to get a rookie quarterback in there and pay a little bit less and use that money elsewhere.
And as Jeremy Branham, I saw him tweet this yesterday, it made me laugh because he and I we've bonded over our hate for the Pro Bowl. The Browns, someone put out a headline yesterday that said, Browns releasing former Pro Bowl quarterback.
What? They released Deshaun Watson?
Tyler Huntley.
Oh.
They released Tyler Huntley.
I think, didn't Jameis also make a Pro Bowl? He had to have made a Pro Bowl. We're talking about Tyler Huntley making a Pro Bowl? Jameis made a Pro Bowl.
He had to. There's no way he did.
I'll look it up. But if he didn't make it for his 30-30 season, that is 30 touchdowns, 30 interceptions,
then I've lost faith in the Pro Bowl, even more so than Huntley being a Pro Bowler. Winston not being a Pro Bowler would be equally a big of a crime.
It's Kalon George here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. When we get back...
Winston did make the Pro Bowl in 2015.
Okay. All right. Pedro Muniz, multi-asset general manager here at LaBerge, will join us to discuss some other fun stuff coming up at the property. That's next year on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. Back to Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios located at LaBerge Casino Resort in Lake Charles.
Kalon George here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Sean filling in for Paul. He will return on Monday once we are back in the studio. Paul will get back to Texas, and we'll get ready for football season. Really get ready for football season. Pedro Muniz, the multi-asset general manager here at LaBerge. What's going on, man? Welcome back.
Another day in paradise, man. Thanks for having me again.
It is, you know, I know it's a little gloomy outside, but it is kind of like perfect, though, outside.
Man, we get to sit, talk sports book, get food. We'll take it.
So we talked about the fantasy football yesterday and you know, the different ways that people can sign up and everything. But coming up on September 8th, you guys got a big tailgate going on, right?
We do. We're running off a series of those events. The first one's going to be on the 8th of September. And basically we're going to have our patio set up similar to what you would see if you went to a tailgate party, you know, at a football game. And so what Lyle and his culinary team's putting together is just going to be basically stationary barbecue. The menu's going to be barbecue. And
nice.
So there's a lot of good stuff on there. Man, I'm actually going to read it off to you here.
Okay.
We've got some St. Louis-style ribs.
Okay.
Right? Some barbecue pulled pork, jalapeno cheddar sausage, some baked brisket mac and cheese. Y'all got to have that one. And then obviously all his sauces and sides, anywhere from fire-roasted corn to – this really awesome rice dressing he puts together in the beans, man. I wish I could share his recipe. It's so good, but they're good. It's a lot of good stuff, man. It'll be about $75. You don't have to reserve to come. Just show up and, you know, come spend the day watching all the games with us, man. We'll have it out here from 11 to 6.
Nice. Because you guys will do the first time we came out was from March Madness. There was, like, the big TV back there, right?
Yeah, we had our big screen outside, you know, so –
Everybody you guys roll that out for all the, like, Saturdays and Sundays?
Normally, we'll do those for, like, the bigger games.
Okay.
You know, so, like, March Madness, like you said.
Yeah.
Or if we had the Super Bowl going or something like that. And then any of those fight nights, we usually, because we get pretty full inside and out. So it's always good to have that out here.
Yeah, I imagine the college football with the, you know, obviously the big LSU games and stuff, too. Like, LSU-Alabama is going to probably be
That's going to be
out
wild.
Here.
That's Sunday at 6:30, right? And so we're
Yeah, it's going to be late.
Yeah, it's going to be a late one. But man, there's some teams they go crazy for, obviously. And Lake Charles is going to be LSU, right? You hear about the Saints. Everybody talks about the Cowboys. We don't get enough love from my boys in Houston, man. The Texans are coming.
That's
this
why
year.
We have you on.
The
so
Texans
much.
Are coming this year, man.
No, it's gonna be fun. I think this year for the Texans, it's gonna be exciting. I think you're gonna see a lot of people more traveling. Because I know you guys have said that, like, for, like, the playoffs for the Astros, people will come out more and stuff like that. I think this is the year where now people are gonna look at the Texans and, like, they have high expectations.
That's
right. They're gonna plan to come out, like, you know, when, like, maybe be out here for, what is it, Monday Night Football when they play the Cowboys or Sunday Night Football, whatever it is. You know, be here for a game like that. I think you're going to start seeing Texans
fans
gonna
be big.
Filling up quick. I mean, they got all the primetime games. Like, what is, like what it would be, I'm curious, like, what, like, Thursday Night Football, because I know we're going to talk about some special guys got coming up. But, like, what do you think, like, Texans-Jets on Halloween will be like here?
Texans-Jets Halloween.
Like, will you see people, like, do people come to the sports book dressed up for Halloween?
You know what? They typically don't.
Okay. I was just curious.
We do, like, got, you know, you're unraveling another one, right? We are planning a pretty cool Halloween party over at Johnny Sanchez coming up. So
there we go.
So we'll definitely get Boogie in with the costumes there. You don't typically see it in the sports book. Most times everybody's, you know what they're coming for. They want to place the bet.
Yeah.
Grab some good food and enjoy the scene with the big screens and all that, but... It would be funny.
All right,
right?
So what are these? So you got some specials coming up now. You guys are doing for Monday Night and Thursday Night Football this
year? Yeah, so we're going to run them starting on the week. I think it's that first Monday Night Football game is September 9th, right?
Uh-huh.
But Mondays and Thursdays, we want to be the place everybody wants to come watch the football games, right? So we're going to actually run a dual promo on those days. We're going to have all-you-can-eat boneless wings.
Nice.
That's going to be for $19.99. You want to come in and – We open at 5 o'clock those evenings. It's all you from open till we close the doors. And then in conjunction with that, we'll run some draft beer specials. So Mondays and Thursdays, you'll be able to come enjoy all you can eat for $19.99 on the boneless wings with $3 draft beers on all of our draft beers.
Nice. And that's here on the patio, right?
That's in the patio. That's inside.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, hey, just come on
nice.
Over to the
cool.
sports book and just – yeah, wherever you want to be comfortable. If you want to enjoy the outside scene, come on over. We'll have a spot for you.
So we didn't really talk about too much yesterday, but like this is – are you ready for the chaos?
I'm ready for the chaos.
Yeah.
It's fun, right? Like we head into our summer season, right, and the rest of the building's kind of popping off. The pool's always really busy mm-hmm. with the summer flow, and then the sports kind of tail down a little bit. And then football
– it's your time to shine.
And it's our time to shine over here. So we're definitely excited. A lot of cool stuff. Outside of what's going on Mondays and Thursdays, we'll have on Tuesdays some ribeye smash burgers. We'll let those go for $9.99 on every Tuesday during the football season. So, you know, Lyle has a really good recipe. We always say Lyle, right? The man's a genius back there. So just basically trimming up and shaving and smashing down some ribeyes, man, and turning them into some really good burgers. And then Wednesdays, everybody, right? No food that day. You can definitely get food, right,
yeah.
off of our main menu. But we'll run a half-off draft beer special for our days on Wednesdays, and that would include your normal pints or your 100-ounce towers. You
yeah,
know, those will be half-off and,
yeah.
and, like, pitchers of beer, stuff like
nice.
That.
Nice. I didn't know that you could get the big towers.
Yeah, the towers is definitely something that you notice the first guy or the first group gets it.
And then everybody starts
yes.
to get them.
And it's the ball starts rolling on that.
Yeah.
So we normally run those. Like I said, they're 100 ounces. We run them for $50. So on Wednesdays, okay. you're grabbing that for $25.
Oh,
yeah.
That's a good deal.
So grab a couple Ooh. Of friends. Make sure they're all 21 and up, of
go.
Course. But
yeah.
but grab some friends and come get some good drinks and some good food over here. Watch some football, man.
Yeah, I think we'll be doing one of those towers when we're back here on the 22nd.
Yeah,
we'll be here for the Texans game. We'll hang out after the show and watch. We'll get here Saturday as well. So
okay.
Might have to go back to back.
Hey, listen.
Do one on Saturday, do one on Sunday.
We got plenty of towers on deck, so we'll keep them full, man. Y'all just come enjoy yourselves.
He is Pedro Muniz, multi-asset general manager here at the property. And thank you for joining us as always.
Always a pleasure.
We'll see you next time.
Thank you, guys.
All right, it's Glenn George here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. It's Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, located at La Berge Casino Resort in Lake Charles. Here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
It's Joe and Sean here with you today. Paul will return on a Monday as we get ready and get closer to football season. I think it will be 5 days. No.
Five days
is
tomorrow.
I know.
Because it's six.
Yeah, I know.
Jay Cutler.
My bad.
Whoops.
I was just thinking, like, it was like we have a show tomorrow, but we don't. It's a show in 3 days.
So how many days on Monday?
Three.
Okay.
Three days.
Chiefs
Ravens? I don't even remember at this point.
Chiefs Ravens, and then they have the Friday game in Brazil. That's going to be Packers Eagles.
Okay, you know what's so funny about that one? It's like, remember the weird story that people were running with that they can't wear green?
Yeah, I saw Brooks Kubina, who now covers the Eagles, tweeting a bunch about that this morning.
But the NFL denied it. But then the Eagles, they put out the Eagles uniforms today, and they're not wearing green.
Yeah.
They're wearing black pants, a white jersey, and a black helmet.
Yeah, and Brooks Kubina was like kind of framing it as like, no, they're allowed to wear green. They're just not wearing green because it's the rival color, and it's a bit of a pander move. To not wear the rival colors in that stadium. I don't know. Because he also had a tweet where they're like, no, the color green is not banned in this town in Brazil. It is the away fan gear, like the rival team's gear that's banned.
Yeah.
And a lot of their gear is green. And it's like, it's a lot of explaining this away where...
It's basically, it sounds like to me, honestly, Sean, is like, yeah, we're not really sure how these fans are going to react to seeing those colors. We don't really trust them.
Am I crazy?
I'm not really sure why we're playing a game in Brazil.
Am I crazy, or do we basically, like, on this front,
we don't really have anything to worry about with the, because it sounds like the fans, like, they hate the rivals. They don't hate the color green.
Yeah, I
like,
don't know.
Like they're not going to, like, yeah. Like, the, you know, hooliganism that happens. Like, there's no hooliganism that happens at these NFL games in London. And they happen every other week at the soccer games there.
Yeah.
And it's not because, well, they sent the Chiefs, and the Chiefs wear red, and in London they hate Liverpool, who also wears red. It's like, no, they hate Liverpool. They hate the teams. They're not just against the color.
Yeah. I the whole thing is just bizarre. I don't really
understand. The Brazil flag is green.
Yeah.
Like, what are we talking about?
Yeah, like, what is like, what story, like, what part of this is real? What is it being, like,
do they hate trees?
Like, dramatized? Like,
yeah.
Yeah, it's like, and it seems like bits and pieces of it are all true, and like, but no one's willing to, like, come out and be like, yes, this is, we're literally doing this to protect our players because we're worried that they wear certain colors and people are going to freak out. Like, I don't really get it.
Also, if I'm the NFL, I'm like, wait, didn't Brazil host a World Cup, what, 10 years ago?
Mm-hmm.
Shouldn't they have, and the Olympics 8 years ago, shouldn't they have a bunch of stadiums? Maybe you go to one of the stadiums that doesn't have a,
well, those stadiums are
a band color problem. I know they're in disrepair now.
Yeah, those stadiums probably are, like, but crumbling.
Like, are they playing in Sao Paulo?
I think so. Yeah,
play in Rio then.
Yeah,
I just, or if they're playing in Rio, play in Sao Paulo.
I will
play in whichever one doesn't. You're not limited by colors.
It's kind of nice though. Like, even though, like, I don't even know what time that game's at actually, but the fact
it's only an hour ahead of Central.
Oh,
or
okay.
No, it's an hour ahead of Eastern.
Oh, okay, that's nice. But we'll have a Thursday game. We'll have a Friday game.
Yeah, that is. It's a nice, you know, getting.
Oh
into
yeah, 7:15 our time.
Yeah, easing your way into it.
But it's on the Peacock.
That's fine.
Yeah, it's fine too. I'm not one of those people.
People really, like, bitch out about every single, like, streaming game that there is, but at the same time, it seems like everyone has these streamers anyway.
I think most people have Peacock at this point because there's enough sports on it.
Yes.
Or wrestling on it.
Well, sports entertainment.
Yeah,
yes.
You're right.
How dare you?
You're right.
All the premium live events are,
yeah,
on Peacock.
So, I mean, I have it for that, mm-hmm, and I have it for Notre Dame, and then,
yeah.
So, and when there's something like this pops up, I'm like, I already have it.
And
so,
there's crazy,
in the office.
And there's crazy high numbers on the Olympics that was just last month, and most of that stuff was on Peacock. So I feel like most Americans have Peacock at this point.
Travis Hunter, can he win a Heisman this year? He played all but two plays yesterday, offense and defense.
Yes. Now, if you're going to say no, I think part of that is the is that sustainable question, mm-hmm, of can he do that? Especially what I think is underrated about Travis Hunter playing both ways at Colorado is that he's doing it at Colorado. So he's doing it at elevation.
Uh-huh.
He is playing games at a mile high above sea level, where you every time, you know, a team or, you know, or there's like a big fight night there or something, like, you, that's always a storyline of, like, the elevation that they're going to be playing at. I, you know, we always remember the Hakeem Olajuwon with the gas or the oxygen mask. I think that was in a Final Four when he was in college at U of H. But I think that's an underrated element of what he's doing. It's just the when you're playing that many snaps, just can you keep that up?
I don't know if he has to keep it up to that capacity.
Yeah.
But if he's playing both ways consistently,
just,
like,
the
it will help him.
And the wear and tear that happens there. But I think the other than the can he do it, like, if we're just saying, like, obviously if any of these Heisman contenders, like, if they get hurt, they miss three games, guess what? You're not winning the Heisman.
Yeah.
So if you're going to hand wave that away, I think the question really becomes, how good do you think Colorado is going to be?
Yes.
And how good do they need to be? We were talking about it with Matt Holland earlier in Hour 1, where you kind of have to get to 9 or 10 wins to in modern era to win the Heisman. You also kind of have to be a quarterback. But
see, I think because he plays both ways.
Yes.
And he makes an impact on both sides of the ball. Like, yes. He's not just like a body.
Yes,
on
offense, right? I think it was, like, 150 yards, 3 touchdowns,
yeah,
last night.
Even if they have a losing record.
I don't know. Losing record's tough.
I just wonder.
You think 5-7 wide receiver corners holding the Heisman Trophy?
I don't know. I don't think it's impossible. If it was just a wide receiver or just a quarterback or just a corner, I would say absolutely not. No chance in hell. But the idea that he could be this elite wide receiver and have a bunch of, you know, like interceptions this year and play. If he plays 80% of snaps in 2024, I just think he'll at least be there.
Yes, I think he'll be there. I actually feel very confident that he'll be in New York.
Yeah.
I think something else he has going for him, and this is something where if they win 7 or 8 games, then it becomes I can actually see this happening, is he has, like you said, he has two things going for him that are unique to every other Heisman winner, where it's, yes, he's playing both ways and playing them at a high level. He's not Jabril Peppers, who plays corner or played safety, mm-hmm. and then would occasionally, you know, take some jet sweeps like 4 times a season, and they would say he plays both ways. It's not like that. It is, he is a legitimate receiver number one and corner number one for a Power 5 team. He also has the Deion stuff going for him, where they're going to be a very public team. They're going to be a team that's in the limelight. They're going to have those showcase games. We saw it last year where they're playing Colorado State at the game kicked off at 10 Central,
mm-hmm.
and it was like one of the biggest games of the college football season, where East Coasters staying up to 1:30 watching them scrap it out against a Mountain West team.
I mean, next week might be like Colorado versus Dylan Raiola in Nebraska.
Yeah.
Be one of the biggest games of the week, honestly, just in terms of viewership, because you've got Shador and Deion, and then you got Nebraska, which like finally feels like they're turning the corner a little bit to back to being relevant.
And it's going
to
be NBC in primetime.
Yeah. So it's I would lean, like, if I was going to bet on it, I would bet on Travis Hunter over Shador Sanders to win the Heisman. I'll say that.
Yes. But yes.
And that's no disrespect to Shador. It's just the fact that he plays both ways.
Yes. Being a quarterback that wins the Heisman, if you think Colorado's only going to win 7 or 8 games, that is so much harder than the unique nature of how Travis Hunter plays. That is a key part in him winning a Heisman, if you don't think Colorado is going to be that good, being like conference champion good.
All right, when we get back, I saw the Bees were discussing this yesterday. Some disrespect.
What?
Of CJ Stroud and D'Amico Ryans. We'll get into that next year on Glanton George on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.